We are geek-centric, and you can be too.
Welcome to the Geekcentric Podcast, and welcome to our special Behind the Geeks episode for Toronto Comic Con 2024 and for X-Men 97. My name is Justin, and if you're joining us for the first time, well, we are Geekcentric, a podcast covering the world of movies, TV shows, toys, collectibles, gaming, and all things geekcentric. Today, it is just me introducing our lovely panel of interviews. I was fortunate enough to sit down with two of the voice actors from the early 90s, X-Men animated series who are now voicing those exact same characters in X-Men 97, which is hitting Disney Plus next week, March 20th. A huge thanks to our friends at Touchwood PR who set these interviews up for us ahead of Toronto Comic Con, which is happening this weekend. As of right now, it's starting today and it runs until March 17th, so Sunday. And you're going to actually be able to see these guests at the convention. And who am I talking about? Well, I was fortunate enough to talk with Lenore Zahn, who voices Rogue from X-Men the Animated Series and will be voicing the character again in X-Men 97. But I also got a chance to talk to George Buza, who is the voice of Dr. Hank McCoy, aka the Beast, and he is also returning for the X-Men 97 series. This was such a great time. I'm a huge fan of the original series. I grew up with it. This is my Saturday morning cartoon watching, and I would rewatch them constantly. And I'm very excited for X-Men 97, where our coverage for that is coming next week. But for now, these interviews are really great. I'm so humbled to have had the chance to talk to both Lenore and George about the previous iteration of the X-Men animated series, and now coming back to these characters 27 years later. So without further ado, here are my interviews with Lenore Zahn and George Buza. Enjoy. Hey, Lenore, my name is Justin. How are you?
Hi, Justin Sugar. I am doing well. Thank you, sir.
I'm so humbled to have you on the Geekcentric podcast. Thank you for making the time. It's so great to actually have the chance to sit down and talk to I guess a childhood hero of mine, Rogue, you know, from the X-Men. I loved the show. I was fortunate enough earlier this week to talk with George. So now here I am talking with you, and it's an absolute delight. Now, we're talking also in part because you're going to be in Toronto for Toronto Comic Con. I think you're a convention goer. Is that correct?
I'm a guest at some conventions now that the show has been picked up and is a big deal. Yes, I've been going to some conventions to meet the fans, and I really look forward. This will be the first one in Canada that we're doing.
Really? Wow. Yeah. That's great. That's awesome. And it seems like there's going to be some fun stuff in store. I know you guys are going to be doing it.
I mean, they're going to show Disney is going to show a screening of our show for the fans. So
yeah,
a sneak peek before the actual release on March the 20th.
Correct. Yes. So that's going to be great because fans will have an opportunity to actually connect with you and hear more. And it's not just you, it's the entire voice, most of the voice cast that is going to be there, that is kind of celebrating this revival. Now, kind of going back, you know, 25 plus years when you found out you're going to be this character. And I know you've done some live action acting as well as voice work. So I wanted to ask you, you know, when you were discovering this voice and maybe even the heart and soul of Rogue, where did you start? How did you come up with that?
Well, you know, when I was first asked to audition for it by my agent in Toronto, I used to be with Oscar's Abrams Zimmel, and my voice agent, Elaine, said, "Hey, Lenore, they're looking for a woman who has a deep, husky, sexy voice who can do a Southern accent." And she said, "I think it's you." And I had played a number of characters like that in movies and television. And I'd only ever done one other animated show before that.
Right.
And so, and I considered myself like a serious actress, you know, movies, television, theater, radio dramas. But so I didn't go and audition that first time around. But
Right.
about a month later, she called me again and said, Lenore, they still haven't found the right character, the right, haven't found the right actress for that character because it's you. So she said, you know, get your ass in gear, get down to the studio and audition. So I walked into the studio and I saw a drawing of Rogue. And it's the classic Rogue drawing where she's standing there with one hip, you know, put out and her hand on her hip and her red hair flying with the white stripe up the middle. And she's got this sassy attitude. And I said to myself, I can do that. So I walked into the booth and I put the headphones on and I took one pass at the monologue that they had written, which was, I remember to this day, my daddy liked to kill himself when he found out I was a mutant. I remember I had me a boyfriend when I was 13, had me a boyfriend till I kissed him. Poor boy went into a coma for 3 days. And all of a sudden I heard all these voices in the headphones who were the producers and the director in LA screaming like little girls going, don't let her leave the building. That's Rogue. That's the one we've been waiting for. And that's how I got the part.
Well, that's amazing. And it sounds like you kind of like did almost like a hold my beer while I go and do this. And they were just like, okay, this is it. They were trying to find the right voice. And I'm so glad that you were able to contribute and be a part, because I think it's a definitive character of the X-Men as one of the most relatable. And actually on that, do you find that you could relate to Rogue in some ways? Like obviously outside of the mutancy, but like maybe more about her passion, her heart, who she is as a character.
Absolutely. I oftentimes say like Rogue is me and I am Rogue. Rogue is a very active character. She's very passionate. She wears her heart on her sleeve. And yet she's also a bit of a loner because she got kicked out of her home at an early age. I didn't have that experience, but she never felt quite comfortable in her own skin. And neither did I. Coming over from Australia to Canada when I was 8 years old, we moved to Regina, Saskatchewan. Kids at school asked me, what language do we speak in Australia? Because they couldn't understand a word I was saying. This little Australian accent. And then we moved to Nova Scotia, and I was kind of constantly having to try and fit in and become one of the gang when the gang was already formed, you know? So I never quite felt like I fit in. And I think most people can relate to Rogue and to the other mutants because everybody just wants to belong. Everybody just wants to belong and to be accepted for who they are. And Rogue goes through a lot of her life not really accepting who she is. And so in my case, that turned out to become an alcoholic disorder. And I would use alcohol to deal with my pain, to make myself feel numb. And I got sober actually on the last season of our show in 1996. I got sober, which was 28 years ago. I'll be celebrating in April my 28th year of sobriety.
Wow.
And so I think many people can relate to our characters and to Rogue specifically because she feels different and she wants to be what normal. And many people can relate to that as well, because for instance, when she goes to Muir Island to try and get the scientists to take away her genetic mutation so that she can touch people skin to skin and perhaps have a normal life and be intimate, fall in love, have a family. But by the end of that episode, she realizes, hey, wait a minute, it's those mutant powers, those different unique powers that make me who I am. And I can use them for good to try and make the world a better place. And she comes away saying, there ain't no cure for who you are. And I think that is a very important message for today's youth and for others who are feeling persecuted at the moment.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think the heart of the character very much is trying to fit in, like you were describing. Yeah, that's a beautiful, beautiful story and beautiful sentiment of how you relate to her character and brought her to life. So now we're here. 2024, you're revisiting this character. What's changed? Is there anything that's changed, or is it just like getting on a bike and doing it all over again?
Well, when I first went into the studio after I was told that they wanted me to reprise my role, I was a little nervous, thinking, do I still have it? Is she still there? But within a second or two of opening up my mouth and just laying down the lines, she was there, and it was like pulling on a pair of fine, well-worn gloves. She was right there,
She never left you.
she never really left me, no.
That's
And it's interesting,
beautiful.
I went into politics while I was in Nova Scotia. So
Yeah, I've
for
heard. Yeah.
right. So for 12 years, I was an elected official. I was a member of the Legislative Assembly, or MPP, as they say in Toronto, for 10 years, and then 2 years federally with Prime Minister Trudeau in his caucus as a member of Parliament. And I brought my belief in justice and equality to my role as a politician as well. So right now there's a bill going through the Senate, which I introduced, a bill that is basically an act to address environmental racism and
Right.
environmental justice. And right now it's in the Environment Committee on March the 21st in the Senate. And if it passes that, it will go back to the Senate again for third and final reading. And if it passes, it will become law in Canada. And that's my contribution. Rogue and I would be, she would be doing the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was just about to say. You are Anne Marie. You are Rogue. You are
I am.
you guys are one. You've
Yeah.
done it. And I think for a lot of people, we've obviously had some live action adaptations, but for myself, this was the X-Men. Like, this
Thank you.
was it. These characters were the X-Men. And now
Yeah.
here we are back revisiting, the
Yeah.
97 crew and bringing back that nostalgia and bringing back a lot of the voice cast. I'm imagining you've stayed in contact with them throughout these years. And is that true?
To be honest, no. We had a reunion 5 years ago, before the pandemic. We were invited to come to Texas to a Comic-Con there and to reunite. And it was the first time we'd seen each other in like 25 years. And then the pandemic happened. And then at the end of it, towards the end of it, we discovered that they wanted us to come back. And so now we've gone to a few Comic-Cons and seen each other, and that's been really incredible. We're really sad that some people are no longer with us, like Norm Spencer,
Norm,
who
yeah.
was the original Cyclops, who was a dear friend of all of us. David Hemblin, who was Magneto. I loved David. I'd seen him
He
in
was
many
so
movies.
good. He was
He
forever,
was.
and which is why, again, I've come to look at voice acting as a whole new echelon of acting. So in some cases, I guess then will this be a sort of
A
getting the
reunion.
band back together? Yeah, I guess it would be a reunion since the show's now going to be a whole new, it's going to be a hit. I guarantee it's going to be a
I hope
hit.
so.
It's
I
going
hope
to be.
so. I'll tell you, judging from reading the scripts, obviously I'm not allowed to say anything about the show itself, other than that, I'll tell you this. Every time I get one of the scripts, I cannot put it down till I'm finished. And I read all the way through it. And it's like I'm on the edge of my seat wondering what's going to happen next. Now, if I'm feeling that way, I know the audience is going to feel that way. It's so well done. It's exciting. It's deep. One thing I got to say, I think it's sad that we have to relook at these issues that are happening again today. These civil rights, human rights issues, the fact that people are being attacked and persecuted again. 30 years later, you'd think we'd all have our act together by now, but no, humans still are as ignorant as we used to be. So it's time for the X-Men to make an appearance. The world needs them.
And I think that that is such a great way to kind of wrap up this interview, is to the importance that the X-Men symbolize is a bit more of an allegory for social justice and social issues. And
Absolutely.
I think that that's exactly the reason why we need these stories now, and we need to be reminded of it in a way that allows people to connect to them, because I think there's a
Exactly.
relatability to every single character that we've been fortunate enough to meet through the animated series, and what drives them, what motivates them, and why they are the way they are, even if they are vengeful, even if they are out for revenge,
Right.
there's a sense of
There's a
justification
reason
there.
why they are. I know. And we oftentimes hear that, Malcolm X and Martin Luther King were people that Stan Lee was thinking about when he wrote Magneto and Professor X. And you can really
Yes.
see that, right? And I just want to say, am I going to get to see you this weekend? Are you going to come to the screening?
I am. I'm going to be there. I'm trying to get there Friday. I will definitely be there Saturday.
Yeah, come
but
Saturday.
I am trying to get there for Friday. You're going to be actually doing two events by the sounds of it. You're doing one Friday. Yes. You're also going to be doing one Saturday. Friday one is going to be again a screening. Yeah, and signings and all that stuff. But I know Saturday our friends at the Movie Podcast are going to be hosting that event with you, and it's going to be a good time. I'm excited to see what there is in store for Toronto Comic-Con. Thank you so much, Laura. This has been an absolute delight. You are the embodiment of Anne-Marie Rogue. It's official. You are the character. I love it.
Appreciate that.
And I love that jacket on you. I think it's fantastic.
I know, isn't it great? I got it at the Uncanny Experience. They have this weekend in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. They're doing it again this year, where you can go and have and be in the whole environment of the Professor X's Academy for Gifted Mutants. And you can get one of these jackets. They're pretty cool.
I'm gonna have to see if I can score one. I appreciate you. All right, awesome. See you this weekend.
Yeah, see you in Toronto. Bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, George. How are you, man?
Great.
My name is Justin. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us on the Geek-Centric podcast. I am absolutely stoked to be talking to the voice of Hank McCoy, or Beast, from one of my favorite childhood shows. And yeah, it's just a great privilege here to chat, have the opportunity to chat with you. Now, you're going to be in Toronto, I hear, for Toronto Comic-Con. Have you been to conventions before? Are you a convention goer?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We started doing them just before the pandemic, when Eric and Julia Leewald released their book previously on X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And they gathered a small number of us to go and do a Comic-Con down in New Braunfels, Texas. There was going to be the first X-Men reunion. And that's when we started doing the shows.
Right. Absolutely. And now it looks like there's a whole other reason to do this reunion with another show on the horizon coming out later this month. Now, that answers, I guess, sort of my question. Have you stayed in contact with your fellow castmates all these years?
Well, yeah, because we all do other animation.
Mm-hmm.
I'd seen Cal a lot of times at other auditions, because we still did voiceovers.
Right.
And I ran into Norm Spencer before he passed away. He used to live in my neighborhood.
Right.
So we all kept in touch. And this just gave us another reason to hang together and go and do
talk
shows all over the place.
Right. And talk about something refreshing and new, right? It's, you know, there's a lot of people that appreciate, obviously, the past episodes and the past show as well. But now with X-Men 97, it looks like there's going to be a lot more to talk about. Going all the way back, you know, when you started, when you got the role of Hank and Beast, how did you find that voice? How did you go about crafting that voice? Because I did read somewhere that you were more familiar with the source material, like the X-Men comics, than others. Is that true?
Well, yeah, when everybody was reading the audition sides, they called this Project X.
Mm-hmm.
And I was familiar with the X-Men comic books from when I was a kid. The first one came out in 1963, which would have made me about 11 years old.
Right.
And I remember seeing it and reading it and being familiar with it. So that when I read the audition sides, Project X, this is X-Men.
Right.
And immediately I got really excited, because this is a chance to do something that meant something to you when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And here you're revisiting it as an adult,
mm-hmm.
and being able to play a character that used to shine in the comic books.
Yeah.
You know, this was like just as exciting as when I got to play Chief Chirpa in Land of the Ewoks.
Yeah, exactly.
At the time, Star Wars was probably the best movie that I'd ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then to be given the chance to play Chief Chirpa, you know, what better thing could happen?
Right. Absolutely.
X-Men. That's what better thing could happen, you know. So yeah,
and it seems
crafting the voice, they wanted a natural voice. They didn't want us to do cartoony.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted this to be realistic,
mm-hmm.
as realistic as a mutant can be.
Mm-hmm.
And you just tried to make him sound very smart, to find the voice of reason.
Yes.
You know, he was all those things that I tried to aspire to when I was dealing with all the situations in my life.
Right.
And there was a great connection between me and the character of Hank.
Yeah, I love that. That was one of my questions. That is, how do you connect with your character? So that's amazing, because, you know, I think he was always the voice of reason. And if anything, he was the empathy and compassion. When so many people around, obviously, in this world of the X-Men, there was a lot of hate and sides that were being picked. And Hank always seemed to be the voice of reason, as you said, or he just had a lot of empathy. And I don't know, for myself, he was a character I always connected with, because it's easy to understand one side, but you always want to be a person that can understand both sides. And I always feel like that's how Beast really situated himself in the show and was always depicted as. Now, you're coming back to this character 25 plus years later. Was it like getting on a bike again, or was it?
Oh,
was
yeah, some, very much
was
so.
It like, yeah, was there anything that you had to try differently? And how much has the industry changed in your eyes? Like, obviously, we've heard a lot with, you know, obviously the pandemic and everything, people doing more records at home, less in studio. Were you, before, when you guys were doing the show back in the 90s, were you guys recording together? And has that changed now? Are you guys recording more like apart from each other?
Well, now we're barely even seeing each other in the studio. Everybody's
right.
So far apart
mm-hmm.
that occasionally you run into the person who was recording ahead of you if you arrive 10 minutes early. But a lot of times they're on different days,
mm-hmm.
the recording sessions. So you're just going in there alone and you do your thing and you go home. The very first season that we did the original X-Men, we all recorded together like we were doing radio drama. But cool. It was a very time-consuming thing, because every time that you had to speak, everybody else's microphone had to be turned off. Mm. Then you gave your line, then your microphone got turned off, and everybody else's got turned back on. So the whole idea of spontaneity was killed, because it took so much time to do all that.
Right.
And it made a recording session that should have taken an hour last like 5 hours. And so they stopped doing it because it was very inefficient.
Right.
And then we all went to individual records, unless there was a two-person scene, then they bring the two of us together.
Mm-hmm.
And now you don't even really see the other people at the sessions, because you can do it remotely.
Right.
A lot of people have studios in their own home, so they can do the recordings there. You know, I still go to the studio. I didn't bother to build a studio in my room.
Right. Right. No, of course. We've actually talked to D. Bradley Baker, who does a lot of his voice work, and he has like his own little like setup in his office. And he talks about, you know, the difference and how people like to situate themselves, and, you know, working with someone will always yield something different than when you're working on your own, obviously.
Yeah.
Right. So I feel like, you know, there's a lot of opportunities, but as you said, it was probably not as efficient when everyone's together and you got to kill mics and turn mics on and stuff like that. It just draws out the process. Have you seen any of the recent, any of the new episodes? Have they shown you any of them at all?
Yeah, I've seen little snippets of it, because we've gone in to do ADR, audio dialogue replacement, and
would you be able to
little snippets of it? It looks fabulous. Right. I haven't seen a full episode.
Okay, so you haven't seen a full episode. I was going to ask if there was any episode that you would be excited for fans to see from the upcoming show, but if you can't comment on that, that's totally
understandable. I can't until the show is released, we can't make any kind of
for sure
way or spoiler alerts or anything like that.
Yeah, no worries.
All we can say is it looks fabulous. You won't be disappointed. The writing is just as good as it was back in the 90s. They've kept the spirit of the show alive.
Mm-hmm.
All of our characters are consistent with what we did before.
Yeah.
So that's all we can say.
Yeah. And I think a huge part of that spirit is bringing back the original voice cast as much as possible. Obviously times have changed and maybe not everyone's here, but at the end of the day, that helps to really forge that spirit and keep that continuity.
We're also introducing a lot of new characters.
Yes, so I've heard. Yes, and
they're
I'm
basing a lot of it on the current comic books.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So it's everybody that's working on the new show had to be a diehard fan of X-Men.
Right.
In the original series, a lot of the people that were working on the show had never even really heard of X-Men.
Right.
They'd never seen a comic book. They were just animators or writers.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to familiarize themselves with the whole genre. And now in this series, everybody that's working on it is a diehard fan. So they're already well aware of all the characters and all the stories.
And the direction that they probably want to take these things too, right? There's a sense of confidence, which, you know, now that Marvel's there and behind it and kind of pushing it in a direction, there's going to be that universe building elements. You know, circling back to where we started with conventions, you know, like a lot of people talk about when they go to conventions, especially talent that gets to interact with fans as really great moments. Do you have any moments in that you've really had great call outs with fans and moments with fans that have recognized and, you know, appreciated your work?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I remember the very first time that somebody came to my table and they were so overcome that they actually started to cry.
Yeah.
And this was a grown man, just because the show meant so much to him as a child. He found so much refuge in what we were doing that he was overcome with emotion and had to go and compose himself before he could come back and have a conversation.
Wow.
So this is something we were never aware of when we were doing the original show, because they kept all that away from us. We didn't have any idea how much fan mail was coming in. All we knew is that we kept getting renewed for 5 seasons, which basically is the target for syndication.
Yep.
So if you could keep a series going for 5 years, that was major syndication, and that would ensure that the show would go on. Not necessarily in recordings, but it would live as a syndicated product.
Right.
So that was our goal. And when we achieved that, the show ended, and we never even thought about, you know, we just went on to our next jobs. So when it got revived and we started doing these Comic-Cons and we started meeting the fans, it was so overwhelming how much the show really meant to these people. And it's something that never really entered our minds. To us, we were just doing a piece of entertainment that lasted for 5 years, and we went off and did the next show. Mm-hmm. A lot of us were doing other shows at the same time. While we were recording X-Men, I was also on Maniac Mansion, a live-action show.
Yes, yeah.
And I was playing a 4-year-old mutant who was a giant.
Right.
And so I would go, the studio for Maniac Mansion was about 2 miles away from the studio we did the recording of X-Men in. And I'd be dressed up as a 4-year-old wearing kids' clothes, and I'd hop on my motorcycle and ride over to the X-Men studio, do my record, and then ride back to keep working on Maniac Mansion.
Right. So you're kind of splitting your time and doing both. That's so great, though. Like, I love that you kind of get to see the residual effects of what X-Men meant to fans, you know, in this capacity. And
without the Comic-Cons, we never would have known.
Yeah. It really does allow you to connect the dots and see the people and understand, and I rightfully so. The show it's lasted more than 5 years. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's gone so long, which is why we're back here in 2024, and you're working on X-Men 97, and it's about to hit Disney Plus. And I think a lot of people are beyond excited, especially because of how much the X-Men mean, not just to the MC, but to people in general, right? They're a symbol of a lot of indifference and how to overcome that. And I know for myself, like I said, to Hank McCoy or Beast was always the voice of reason. And in a lot of ways, and I'm not going to say he taught me empathy, but I saw what empathy looked like. I saw what compassion looked like. I saw what it meant to have two sides to the opinion. And he wore his mutancy differently than everyone else, obviously.
Oh, when you're right? Blue.
So, exactly. When you're giant and you're blue, it's harder to hide, right? So he had to have a sense of composure and reason. And I think, again, George, your voice just helped to elevate that persona and that character, which is why it's no surprise that someone would get a little emotional, especially if maybe they were struggling with something and you might have been the voice of reason for them, right?
So it's happened more than once.
Nice.
And a lot of the fans from the 90s are bringing their own kids.
Yep.
Yes. And introducing them to the old series and having watch sessions with their kids. So, you know, these are the things that make you kind of misty, you know?
Right.
What you thought was just a job meant so much to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it helped them, you know, that they found refuge in it. That's
the beautiful part of it, right?
That's the beautiful part, the most valuable part of what we do.
Awesome. Well, George, this has been an absolute delight. I think my time is up. I'm not sure if I still have more time, but I've asked all my questions. I'm so excited to have had the opportunity to talk. I'm looking forward to seeing you both at Toronto Comic Con when I'm there, but also on X-Men 97 when it hits Disney Plus later.
Well,
this
it's going to be released. The first episode will air March the 20th.
Yeah. Both, I think they're doing them back. There's two episodes that are airing that day. Yeah. So
you guys know more than we do.
Well, I'm actually going to be talking with Bo later, probably in the coming weeks, who is the showrunner for X-Men.
Wonderful guy.
I'm excited to talk to him. Yeah, I have a lot of questions already already written. Any fond memories working with him?
Well, I think I've only seen him once or twice in the early recording sessions. I don't know if he sits in. The only person we really see is Meredith, mm-hmm. who's directing the series, and everybody else who's listening in doesn't really appear on the screens.
Right. So there's,
I think Bo is a wonderful, wonderful guy, and I love him dearly. I think he's dedicated to this show.
Yeah.
And I hope it goes on for a while.
Likewise, George. I hope we'll be talking to you again soon. And I didn't realize you were the truck driver in X-Men 1 who was driving Rogue. That's cool. I did not know that. That's a cool little Easter egg to get the voice of Beast in the
Well,
in
what
movie.
Happened was they put out a call for all these small roles that Canadians play in the American movies when they come to town.
Right.
And so my agent sent me out and right for the truck driver. He was about five lines. And the stunt coordinator was an old acquaintance of mine, and he leaned over to Brian Singer and he said, "That's the voice of Beast." And Brian called me over to the table and he said, "Without your show, I wouldn't be making this movie today." And
damn. Wow. That's a heavy
truck driver.
Yeah, that's heavy. That's cool. That's really great to know, because I think, again, not to, again, just do loops around here. I think before we had the MCU, before we had any of those X-Men movie, this X-Men series, the X-Men animated from the 90s, was all that everyone had. And in a lot of their minds, that was the Beast, that was the Wolverine, that was the Cyclops. And that's why so many people are looking when they see these live action options or live action sort of traits happening. They want to see elements of what was done there.
Yeah.
The theme song. The
Brian
characters.
Singer followed the comics and he followed our series.
Yep. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, George. Again, really looking forward to seeing you at Toronto Comic Con. Enjoy
We're
your
only
time there.
Only there 1 day.
1 day. What day are you there?
Friday.
Okay. And then
so we're going to be showing up for they're going to have a special screening of the first episode.
Oh.
In one of the hotel rooms at the convention.
Okay. Sweet.
And they're going to bring us in to do a little intro and a little Q&A afterwards. But we won't be at the show. We don't have room.
Okay. Yeah, it's probably a little tight. So, that's really great to know. Thank you so much for taking the time, George. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Cool. Thanks very much.
And that's it. Those are my interviews with Lenore Zahn and George Bouza. Huge thanks again to our friends at Touchwood PR for setting this up ahead of Toronto Comic Con. And Toronto Comic Con is going on this weekend, March 15th, March 16th, and March 17th. And you can find all the details for the event in our show notes, as well as details about how you can actually see Lenore and George at Toronto Comic Con this weekend. There is an event being held today at 2:45 with the entire cast, and they will also be showing the first episode of X-Men 97, which is totally cool. But there is another event happening tomorrow, Saturday morning, 10:30. This one is hosted by Disney. They are also going to be showing the first episode, and they will also be having a Q&A with the entire voice cast hosted by our friends, the Movie Podcast. So we're really excited about that. So if you have the chance, please come out and support Toronto Comic Con and maybe watch some X-Men 97 at the same time. It's pretty dope. But that's it for today's special Behind the Geeks episode. If you enjoyed it, please let us know by reaching out to us at wearegeekcentric@gmail.com. That's wearegeekcentric@gmail.com. Or you can reach out to us on X at GeekcentricYT or on Instagram at wearegeekcentric. Also, keep in mind, if you want to check out these interviews online in video format, you can do so by going over to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/geekcentric. Both interviews are up as separate interviews because, as you can tell, these are pretty lengthy interviews, and I'm very grateful for the time that I had. But if you want to watch the interviews and maybe jump through a little bit and maybe get some excerpts, those are all available on our YouTube channel, again, at youtube.com/geekcentric. Links are in the show notes. And keep in mind, we have a ton of great spoiler-free reviews available now on the Geekcentric podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. Next week, we will have our coverage for X-Men 97, which features a spoiler-free review. We were fortunate enough to actually see the first three episodes, thanks to our friends at Disney Canada. And we are really excited to talk about it. This show, if you're an X-Men fan, you're going to love it. That's all I can say. So stay tuned for that. Be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. And hey, if you don't mind, if you enjoyed this episode, you enjoyed what we're doing, feel free to leave us a 5-star review. It really does help. Share us with your friends and family. But that's it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. And until next time, I appreciate you. Peace.